Hello, I'm Carolyn Valley.
And I'm Kate Valley.
And this is Friday Night at Blockbuster, the podcast about our favorite movies from the 2000s. Except this week, it's the reaction to the 96th annual Academy Awards. They happened on Sunday. We're recording this on Monday. It's being released on Wednesday. We've had some time to process the night's festivities.
Yeah, I think the live reaction from last year just was a bit tough, so we decided not to do that this year.
We won't do that again. That was ambitious and probably foolhardy on my part. You wisely, I think, went to bed.
Well, yeah, it was the day before the wedding, so.
Should have just stayed up. But yeah, this year, I gotta say, I think this is back-to-back years. Just sort of broad thoughts on the show in general. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think Jimmy Kimmel did a good job at kind of doing some like filler bits, filler whatever, but kind of knowing when they needed to stop. He kept them along.
Yeah, he kept the show moving at all times. The thing that I liked, like, I don't really watch the Jimmy Kimmel talk shows. I don't really know his personality all that much. But the thing that I enjoyed was that he got on stage, and especially in the opening monologue, the monologue was about how good the movies were.
Yeah.
With the exception of one very tired joke, which I'm happy we'll never probably have to hear again, about Killers of the Flower Moon being too long. Most of the stuff was sort of like, you know, this person's here, that's great. Like, did you see their work in this? Did you see, you know what I mean? Like, most of it was pretty good. It was pretty funny. There was one sort of good moment where he celebrated Greta Gerwig and sort of said that she should have been nominated, and everybody cheered. And then he very quickly was like, you were the people who didn't vote for her. So don't try and cheer now, which I was sort of just
a little too late.
I was like, well, that's a good moment, because you know what I mean? Like, he's giving Greta Gerwig her flowers, but not sort of belaboring the point. You know, that debate is tired. It's you know, run its course.
And kind of, in a way, not like rubbing the nose in the Academy, but kind of being like, okay, yeah, you guys can all applaud her, and like, that's great. But like, if you really wanted to give her props, nominate her.
Nominate her, exactly.
Like, cheering is great, but like, the nomination is what everybody kind of strives for. The win is what everybody wants, but like, to be nominated sometimes is just as good, or like an achievement on its own.
Yeah. I think that like, there's obviously other award shows. Most of them are not televised. So the big comparison point with the Oscars is normally the Golden Globes. And not to continue to throw him under the bus or continue to sort of belabor the point, but like, the Jimmy Kimmel monologue was just a stark contrast from the Joy Coy one, where he got up there and was like, I didn't see any of the movies this year, and I didn't really like the ones I did see. And it's sort of like, then why are you here beyond the paycheck? Like, what are you doing here?
Maybe check out a few. If you're going to be the host, maybe watch some of the big ones. Like,
I understand that 3.5 hours is like long in comparison to a movie. It's not long in comparison to a work day.
No.
So like, just sit down and watch the friggin' movies. But moving on past Jimmy Kimmel, what was your like singular biggest storyline from the night?
Probably Emma Stone winning.
Okay, so you want to go right there?
Yeah, let's go right there.
Okay.
Because it was the second last award, which already when we were watching it last night, we were kind of like, oh, that's going to be the second last one. Like, interesting choice. And then we kind of decided that it was because it was the true race.
Of the sort of big 4 or 5 awards, it was the only one I think all of us in the room were sort of like, I don't know which way this is going.
Yeah. The Best Picture one, I find some years, is still a bit of a toss-up. Like, sometimes the dark horse kind of sneaks past and does win it. But we were pretty sure that that was going where we thought it was. But yeah, the Emma Stone one. And I think it wasn't even her winning, partly because I haven't seen Poor Things yet. So I don't know how her performance was in comparison to the other women. But it was just the fact that she got up there, immediately pointed out that her dress was broken, kind of laughed at herself about it, and then was able to do like a really great speech about thanking everybody and being a part of this group of women and how, like, she's inspired by them and how she wants to kind of continue working with some of them. And, like, she had a lot of fun doing the award shows with them and, like, thanking her husband and her child and then kind of turning again and being like, but don't look at the back of my dress as I walk away. Like, I just love that she's able to make fun of herself or, like, poke fun at herself when being up on the stage in front of however many people and aired to however many people. And she just, like, has fun with it. So,
well, like, she's a superstar for a reason. She is an A-list plus movie star for a reason. And I think that's, you know, you've sort of nailed it there in terms of she can get up there and, you know, be deprecating to herself for a minute or two, but then knows, like, this is a big moment, reels it back in.
Yeah.
But then still goes out on a sort of, like, funny moment joke. Yeah. You know, you'll all be laughing as I walk off stage or anything. Like, that's great. You can't help but feel like not giving the award to Lily Gladstone was maybe a little bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And, like, that's nothing against the show because the voting would have happened before. But yeah, just there were a few cutaways to her. Some people had been shouting her out during the night. And I was feeling like, oh,
this is the night for her.
Building up to a moment where she'll get to go on stage and deliver a speech. And, like, she's gotten to deliver a few, and every single time those have been, like, the best speeches of the night.
Okay.
And so you're sort of like, oh, like, here we go. It's building up to this moment. And then Emma Stone did win. And I've sort of said it for weeks now as we've been talking about it and whatnot. And, like, it was a genuine race in terms of people didn't know if it was going to be Emma Stone or Lily Gladstone. And I was sitting there being like, I've seen both, and both are really fucking good.
So either was worthy of the win for you?
I can't possibly have any criticism to either winner. Now, I would have, if I had a vote, I would have voted for Lily Gladstone. But, like, watching Poor Things, I was like, this movie is nowhere near as good as it is without Emma Stone. Like, without her performance in that movie might not work at all, let alone in the way that it actually does. So her winning her second award, like, this just vaults her now into almost, like, historic levels of film stardom. Like, not many people have two best leading actresses
awards. Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden now Emma Stone has gone into the conversation with some of the greats.
Because remind me, so for the award season, was it kind of 50-50 between who was winning between the two of them? Or, like,
It had been, but there were some where they weren't competing against each other.
Oh, okay.
So, like, Lily Gladstone won for dramatic actress at the Golden Globes, but Emma Stone won for comedy actress. And so, like, they weren't competing.
Oh, okay.
Emma Stone won the BAFTA, which Lily Gladstone wasn't even nominated for. So, again, they weren't really competing. Lily Gladstone did win the SAG Award, which is normally a really good indicator because the SAG is voted by the actors and the actors make up the biggest branch of the Academy. And so normally how that goes,
the is awards... is kind of a clear...
Yeah, the awards I'm going, because that's the most people voting. Now, I think the Emma Stone win, and we'll get to this is my biggest story line of the night, is the international branch of the Academy is really flexing its muscles.
Okay.
Really flexing its muscles. And I think the Emma Stone win may have been a holdover from that. Because going through the awards last night, with the exception of Oppenheimer, which I think we all knew was going to win 6, 7, 8, 9 awards. I think it ultimately ended up winning 7.
Yeah.
Poor Things won 4.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Poor Things won 4. Zone of Interest won 2. Anatomy of a Fall 1-1, and Boy and the Heron 1-1. Those are all international movies. Now, Poor Things is a bit squiggly because it's like a Disney co-pro, but it's made by an international filmmaker with a largely international cast. The rest of them are all international movies. You know, Boy and the Heron ended up beating Spider-Man Across the Universe. So, like, that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of those, I think, point to the fact that the Academy have brought in a lot of international voters that are then trying to celebrate world cinema in a way that the Oscars haven't really ever before.
Okay, so you think Oscars going forward now will be, like, more international in a way?
Like, I think there will be years like this where, yes, Oppenheimer is going to be the big winner, and Oppenheimer is the big Hollywood movie, but that the voting body then say, well, like, yes, Hollywood's got that one over there. We don't need to give production design, costume design, makeup to the other big Hollywood movie in Barbie. We can give it to this weird European international movie over here. You know what I mean? Like,
that's fair.
So I think that they are going forward, they are going to try and find spots to award movies that otherwise wouldn't be awarded. And so, like, the big one last night that sort of, I was like, the wheels were turning a little bit, was when Zone of Interest won Best Sound. Because I think it won Best Sound against Oppenheimer, against Mission Impossible, against Maestro, you know, all these big Hollywood movies. Anyone who has seen Zone of Interest knows how crucial sound is to that movie. So, like, it's a great winner. But it was one of those ones where I was like, oh, 5 years ago, this wouldn't happen.
It would have gone probably to Oppenheimer.
It would have gone to the big blockbuster American Hollywood movie. And I don't think they're going to do that anymore. I think they're going to be, you know, can we change it up a little bit? Can we, you know, instead of having one runaway train?
Well, I think last night you kind of talked about the idea of, like, spreading the wealth. And, like, I can't remember after which award we had talked about it. I think it was the second, or
I think it was Anatomy of a Fall.
I think maybe it was Anatomy of a Fall. And you're kind of like, okay, like, that they've won that. That's them now set for the night.
That's their night's over.
Their night's over. They're done. They're good. And stuff. You're like, Oppenheimer now will get the big guys, but they've, like, spread it out this year. So
they have done that in the past, and that's why I said. So, like, Justine Triet, the writer-director of Anatomy of a Fall, was nominated for director, was nominated for original screenplay. And I think once I knew, obviously this happened a few weeks ago or a month ago or whatever, when Barbie wasn't eligible for original screenplay and they moved it to adapted screenplay.
Yes.
I always had it in my head that's them sort of stacking the deck for Anatomy of a Fall to win original screenplay. And once it won that, I then was like, oh, well, it's won there because they haven't voted for her for director. They want her to win something.
Yes.
They obviously like Justine Triet. They obviously like this movie. They want it to win something. It's not going to win director. It's definitely not going to win Best Picture. So, like, where else can we find it a win?
Yeah.
And so they found it a win in an original screenplay. And it's like, okay, that's their win. Zone of Interest, obviously, international feature. I think that was kind of a foregone conclusion. And so how else can we find another place for it to win? Oh, Best Sound. We'll find it a win place for Best Sound. And so there were just a few things like that last night where I was like, oh, okay, like, that's them trying to give awards to as many movies as possible, knowing that Oppenheimer is going to win a lot of the big stuff.
The big ones.
Yeah. It's going to win a lot of the big stuff. So where else can we find some wins for smaller movies? I think the other big storyline, well, there's a couple other that I have down here, but I think the other big one, and we'd be remiss not to bring him up, but in a night where Ryan Gosling didn't win an award.
He should have.
I think he won the night. I think he will be maybe the lasting legacy of this award show.
In 10 years, 20 years, whatever, when they talk, because last night they did that once or twice. They were kind of like, oh, this is the 40th anniversary of this, or this is the 50th anniversary of this. I think it'll be the Ryan Gosling song.
You think in 40 think so. Years they're going to bring Ryan Gosling and the boys back out?
Maybe not bring them out. Maybe show a clip. Because I think for a movie about Barbie and about women and sisterhood and all of that, to then have the I'm Just Ken, right? Yeah. Song where you had, I think somebody said like 50 Kens out there, was just hilarious. And like having Ryan start in the crowd and then go up on stage and come back and sing with Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig and America Ferrera, like kind of giving them their moment on the screen as well, like, was just hilarious.
I think, like, yes, I hear all your arguments about Barbie being about this, and ultimately we're here talking about Ken. I think that's a recognition from the award show that, like, that song, in the larger scheme of things, will be one of the, you know, like you couldn't possibly have that award show without doing that song. Even if it wasn't nominated, you needed to do that song. You needed to get Ryan Gosling. You needed to get the boys on stage just to sort of, I don't want to sound like this is what I'm saying, but sometimes the Oscars need to be a little silly.
Yes. And the songs are usually where they get the chance to kind of do their silly bit.
Possibly. Like, I find that the songs are often ballads, which are sort of just like, you know, we ended up skipping the John Baptiste one. We ended up skipping
the Cheetos one.
We didn't really listen to the Billie Eilish one. And, like, those are all kind of, like, down songs. And so it wasn't a surprise that they saved I'm Just Ken for last. Because it's sort of like, well, one, you want people to watch the show as long as possible. And if you keep teasing that Ryan Gosling is going to sing his song, they'll keep watching. But also, like, you need to finish on a high note.
Yeah.
And to do that. But I think in a night where Oppenheimer was winning, Zone of Interest was winning, you know, Poor Things is silly. We'll say that for Poor Things. But there are, like, a lot of, like, serious movies. To have a moment like I'm Just Ken, where
you have everybody up and dancing. You have
everybody up. And like, crucially, they're all going for it.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan Gosling was swinging for the fences. You know, Simu Lee, Kingsley Benadire, they were all up there. They're swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
Like, they are not up there being, I'm too cool for school. They're sort of like, this is awesome. And I'm going to crush this for 2.5 minutes. You know what I mean? And have a good time. And, like, as a show, the Oscars needs.
Yes. What I enjoyed about the song as well, though, and it was really quick, they obviously have screens on the side so the people up top and far back and stuff can see. They had the lyrics to the song. So, like, they wanted everybody
to join in.
To join in and stand and, like, have this kind of, like, big bonding moment. What I think surprised our house the most was Slash.
Wait, yeah, that's because, like, you guys didn't know that he was in the song.
I didn't recognize him at first, and it was Chris who was like, huh, what's he doing up there? And you immediately were like, he's a part of the song.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, okay.
He does the guitar solo in the song. Like, that's not just them having fun. It was sort of like, no, he's part of the song.
Yeah.
Mark Ronson was up there. He also made the song, so it makes sense for Slash. But no, I think, like I will never forget the moment during Barbie in the theater when I'm Just Ken started. And I was sort of just like, holy fuck, like, what is happening? But also, like, in her, like, like, I was so happy as it was happening in real time. And so I think for that to be one of the lasting legacies of the night, I think perfectly fits.
So should it have won over Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell?
Well, I said this last night to you that, like, that I understand that that song is, like, probably technically good.
Mm-hmm.
But it would probably be fourth or fifth if I was to rank the songs from Barbie. And I'm Just Ken would be near the top. I think it was quite interesting that the show with, like, the orchestra last night started and ended, I believe, actually, with Dua Lipa's Dance the Night Away song.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is actually, like, way better than the Billie Eilish song. And, you know, if you were only going to give two nominations to Barbie for original song, I would have done I'm Just Ken and Dance the Night Away. And, like, I guess the other question maybe then comes in with, like, was Billie Eilish there and did she perform and was she nominated as a way to maybe bring in younger viewers to sort of be like, you know, Billie Eilish can perform. But, like, Dua Lipa is also really, really famous in that category of fandom. So, like, I don't know. I don't really get the Billie Eilish thing. Maybe that's my age. Maybe that's a lot of other things about me. But, like, I don't really get it.
You don't get it.
I don't really get it. Nobody's really been able to explain it to me either.
I did also enjoy her speech because I think in some ways, if I was her, I would expect that I could potentially get up on stage. It felt like her and her brother didn't even picture that they would get up there. And so, like, they just kind of got up there and were, like, chatting. And it was just kind of like, oh yeah, I want to thank our friends. I enjoy that one of the friends is named Rat.
Yeah, I like the call out. I think it was to the choir teacher.
Yeah.
Just be like, you didn't like me, but you were a good teacher. It's sort of like, okay. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, like, there were a couple good speeches. I don't know if anyone truly wowed me with their speech.
The only other one would have been the first one of the night, which was
Oh, Divine Joy. She was very good.
She was very good.
She was very good.
And we were saying last night, like, man, I would want to be the first award.
Oh.
Because, like, perfect. She probably now just got to enjoy the rest of the night.
And you could tell, like, people kept calling out their publicists because she did.
Yeah.
And it kept cutting back to her. And, like, she was just laughing it up. Because, like, you got the award in hand. Who cares?
Yep.
You're good to go. You're good to go. So, yeah, like, I take that back. She was very good. The director, I don't actually, unfortunately, have his name written down here, but the director for 20 Days in Mariupol, Ukrainian documentary, his was also a very good speech. You know, he got up there and talked about the war and talked about what life in Ukraine was like. Yeah, I think, like, there were a couple good speeches. I just don't know if anyone necessarily truly sort of floored me with any.
No, some of them were good, and, like, I'll think about them or I'll remember them for, like, the next couple days. But this time next year, I won't be like, do you remember that speech? Or when they get up again to present the next award? Like, yeah.
How did you find the decision to have former winners come up and present the new winner?
Like, I loved it.
Present the nominees and then give the award to the new winner.
I loved it. I think for me, I enjoyed that they just talked about the woman or the man who was obviously nominated. They didn't show a clip from the movie because that's not necessarily them. That's them being somebody else. So I enjoyed that in this case, I'm thinking of the women doing it. So, like, the women getting up and talking about the other women and talking about their dedication, about their skill, about their talent, about how they made them feel watching these movies, how they felt seen watching these movies. Like, it felt more personal to me. In some ways, it made me feel like they were now joining, like, this elite club. Because it is fairly elite.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're the 96th person to win this award, which, like, seems like a lot. But when you think of how many people will ever get nominated and how many movies there are, like, it is a very small percentage. So I thought it was a lot more personal. So I really enjoyed it.
The only note I would have on that is that you could definitely tell sometimes last night the people who had an actual personal relationship with the person that they were speaking about, and somebody who was clearly called in at the last minute to sort of help out, fill out the numbers.
Yeah.
And so I think just, like, a greater, if you're going to do that, a greater importance needs to be placed on getting people who actually know the nominees personally and can get up there. And, like, you then get into tough territory because, you know, how many former winners would personally know Divine Joy Randolph, who is quite new, you know, on the scene in terms of movies and things like that. So, like, that could be tough, but I would then maybe counter that you don't necessarily maybe need them to be former winners. Like, they could be former nominees.
Yeah,
be somebody who worked with her and can get up there and speak to the qualities that she personally brings to set, that she personally brings to her work. So, I do like it in theory, and I think last night was a pretty good example of it. It's the first time they've done it, I think, in a few years. But yeah, like, I think it's a good decision to sometimes do that just to break up from the normal one person comes out, here's five clips.
Exactly.
And we move on sort of thing.
I enjoy the clip ones for, like, the technical awards because I'm thinking of, like, the editing one or the special effects where they show you how they've layered the scene together. And I'm like, oh, that's clever because when I'm watching the movie, I don't sit there thinking, well, was that pipe real? Or was this real? Was that real? Like, so I enjoy that.
They did that with sound last night where the only thing you could hear during the clips was the sound. You couldn't hear sort of any of the music. You couldn't hear dialogue, nothing like that. It's sort of just isolated. And so then it forces you to sort of be like, oh, like, that's what they were doing. Like, that's how they, you know, they get it in there. And so, like, with something like Zone of Interest, when that clip came on, I was just like, ah, oh, like, they're, like, what they're doing is so good.
That one or the Mission Impossible one, because the clip that they picked was the train.
Yes.
And it's just, like, the wheels of the train going, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, like,
it's all there.
With, you know, everything else happening in the scene, you wouldn't pick up on that.
But it needs to be there.
But it needs to be there, because if it wasn't, it wouldn't feel real.
The other big storyline that I've got
Okay.
And I want to bring you in on this because you actually said before the award show started that this may be your favorite movie of the bunch last night.
Oh, yes.
And that's the fact that Martin Scorsese has now had three movies go 0 for 10 at the Academy Awards. Like, that is kind of mind-blowing. First, that he has three movies that have had 10 nominations each. But the fact that three of them have gone winless.
Yeah.
Is pretty remarkable.
Because did Killers of the Flower Moon got...
Killers of the Flower Moon won nothing. The Irishman won nothing. And Gangs of New York won nothing. And I do remember saying during our Gangs of New York episode that one of the reasons why I wanted to do that movie was because it went 0 for 10. And that he had Killers of the Flower Moon coming up. And that I had a sneaking suspicion...
It would happen again.
That it would happen again. And I quite clearly need to go into some sort of betting or future prognostication, because between that and my hot take for the nominations, I can clearly see the future in some way.
Can you see the future on some lottery numbers for this family, please?
No, it's only for movies. Oh, okay. Only for movies.
No, so I just... So for the Best Picture nominees, I got to see 7 out of the 10, which is a pretty good year for me.
Yep.
I tried really hard to get it to like 8 or 9 and just quite literally ran out of time because some of them just hit streaming kind of on the weekend, and obviously I missed them in theater.
Which, like, can I just say, huge missed opportunity. Like, you guys need to do better at getting your movies out there. I understand that there are these windows with theatrical releases and I want them all to go to theaters as well. But, like, good God, like... the people behind American Fiction, the people behind Anatomy of a Fall, like, get your movie onto the streaming service so that people can fucking see your movies. Yes.
Oh, I thought you were mad at me for not seeing them in theater.
No. Okay. Well, like, yes, I am mad at that. But, like, we've known for a month or two that your movie has been nominated for X, Y, and Z at the Academy Awards. You can't put your movie on the streaming service the Friday before the award show. It needs to be there weeks in advance. Give people the chance to watch your movies.
So Anatomy of a Fall, American Fiction, and Poor Things all hit streaming on Friday night. And so we only had time to watch one. So we did Anatomy of a Fall because you had been talking so kind of highly of it. So yes, I missed out on American Fiction, Poor Things, and then Zone of Interest. My plan is still to watch Poor Things and American Fiction kind of in the next week or two.
Yeah.
Zone of Interest will be a bit of a harder search, but
we'll get there eventually.
We'll get there eventually. But so yeah, 7 out of 10. And I was saying to Kieran last night when he came over that Killers of the Flower Moon could possibly be my favorite out of the 10, partly because I'm such a history person. I love reading about history. Movies that are historical are some of my favorite. And for me, a good history movie inspires me to do more research or to understand the people or the time or whatever a little bit more. And like, I had to break up Killers of the Flower Moon over a couple of days just based off of when I had started it. And every time I had to pause it, I would be thinking about it, being like, well, I wonder what's going to happen next. Or like, oh, this character was here when I left them. So like, what's going to happen next? And now I kind of want to read... Kieran said he has the book, so he's going to lend it to me. I want to read the book and I want to do a little bit more just understanding, because although this is an American movie, obviously we have First Nation people here and like similar stories, I assume, have happened.
I can almost guarantee similar stories have happened.
Yeah, but I don't think we had the highest...
No,
capita.
We didn't have this unique story, but like, yes, I can almost guarantee you that Canadian history has many stories very, very similar to Killers of the Flower Moon.
And like the treatment. And so like, I just want to know more. I want to continue my learning and things. So yeah, I just thought it was fantastic. So I would have loved for it to win something last night, for it to kind of get its dues, but.
0 for 10? Like the
score. It's just blowing your mind.
The score say this. Thing does kind of blow my mind, because on one hand he is like routinely recognized as the greatest living filmmaker.
Yeah.
People line up around the block to be in his movies, take small roles in his movies, you know, all this sort of stuff. And on the other hand, the Academy is just sort of like, nah, not feeling it. Sorry, Marty. Like, not this year, bud. Like, when you go back over the years and see, like, how few acting nominations his movies have gotten, how few wins his movies have gotten, like, beyond him personally. I think this was his 8th or 9th Best Director nomination, and he's only won once. It is sort of wild to think, like, my God, like, what does this man have to do to win a fucking gold statue? Like, come on.
Well, you thought he might have won last night when Spielberg came out for directing. You're like, oh, maybe...
For the briefest of seconds, but then I quickly remembered that when he did win for The Departed, they had done something similar. Like, they had stacked the deck.
Yeah.
They had brought out Coppola, Spielberg, and George Lucas, three of his oldest friends, to announce the winner of Best Director that year. And at that stage, I think everybody in the audience are like, oh, it is. If it's not Scorsese in there, like, what are we doing? And it was. And so when Spielberg came out again last night, there was a brief, like, oh, are they going to do this again? And then I was like, no, I don't think they are. I don't think they are.
Do you wish, because Christopher Nolan, our guy, ended up winning his first and then subsequent second award of the... on the Oscars last night. Do you wish they had done something similar? Brought out some...
No, because I don't think he has the legacy that Scorsese had.
Okay.
Especially at the moment when Scorsese finally did win. Like, that had been like a 40-year journey to get him a fucking win. I don't think Nolan has done that yet. I think what that may have symbolized last night was maybe a passing of the baton. Like, I think most people over the last 10, 15 years, once sort of Nolan got his hands on the Batman series in particular, have certainly recognized that he is now the premier blockbuster filmmaker working in Hollywood. Now, you could maybe make your argument for Denis Villeneuve in there in tandem as well. I've seen Dune Part 2 and it is pretty mind-blowing. But that mantle would have been held by Spielberg for 30, 40 years before Christopher Nolan. And so I think there was a passing of the baton, a passing of the torch last night to sort of be like, here you go. You are now sort of undisputed the guy for the sort of blockbuster filmmaking. And Spielberg is not that anymore.
Yeah, because so thinking of Christopher Nolan, I did kind of write them all out. But there was 20 of the 23 winners were all first-time winners last night.
Yep.
Which I don't know if I've kind of noticed in previous years, but like that seems like a lot.
It seems like a lot. There was a lot of first-time nominees last night. And there were a lot of with actors. And there were a lot that like had been nominated but never won before. Like Emma Stone having already a win in her back pocket was pretty rare last night. Yeah. So like beyond the fact that she then won a second, which is also rare, just being there with already an award at home was different last night. And so, you know, that is nice. I think, again, that goes to that's a sign that they're like widening the net a little bit. They're trying to find and recognize people in movies that they weren't previously before. And so that is obviously going to bring more people into the fold.
Yeah, I think it was Cord Jefferson.
Cord Jefferson, yep.
So he won for adapted screenplay for American Fiction. And I think it was in his speech he talked about not always funding the big blockbuster. Yep. Like, they will always find funding, but maybe spread out some of that money to some smaller movies and, like, give them the chance that they deserve. Because I haven't seen American Fiction yet, but would it be a smaller
budget for sure. Movie? Yeah. I think like his point in his speech, again, maybe I should walk back my statement about the speeches because his speech was quite good as well. But I think the larger point in his speech was that he recognizes that because the industry is so geared towards the $200 million movie, that is one person's story. What he would like to see is 10 $20 million movies or 20 $10 million movies so that you get 10 people's stories.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And like it just opens the doors up a little bit wider. You know, this is something that I have said for a while now that like, yes, the $200 million movies are maybe your tent pole. Like, you know, hopefully that makes a billion and then, you know, that's your profits. But like use those profits to fund weird movies that cost you $2 million.
Yeah.
You mean, like, if that $2 million makes $5 million at the box office, that's a win. That's a success. That's true. You know what I mean? Like, they don't all have to be these big swings for the fences. They can be subtler, smaller little wins along the way that just opens the doors for other people to come in, right? So I think, like, his speech was quite good. His speech, because I think he obviously recognizes that in an industry that doesn't want to take many chances, his movie was maybe a chance, and him getting to write and direct, I think this was his first movie, so him getting to write and direct it was also a chance. So I think he recognizes that, like, he had been afforded this chance, and he would like to see other people afforded the same. Beyond all the winners, we can kind of maybe jump ahead to the big one, the big best picture win at the end. And to get us over the line.
Are we talking about Al Pacino?
Al Pacino comes out on the stage. Like, a part of you is sort of like, I don't know if he fully recognizes where he is.
No, because, so they brought him out because it was the 50th anniversary of
The Godfather Part 2.
Okay. Yeah. So they brought him out as the presenter.
A token sort of like, remember that old movie? That was good, right? Yeah, here's Al Pacino.
Kieran also very quickly after the show was just like, can we stop bringing out?
We need to stop doing this. It's not, like, it's not fair. It's not fair on poor Al. Because he didn't do a very good job.
He did not do a very good job.
He didn't do a very good job. We can just say that now. But part of it was funny.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, and I think a part of it, like, he was in on the joke. So when he gets up there, we'd seen clips from all the nominees before. So he doesn't have to introduce the nominees for Best Picture. He can just get up there, say a couple words, open the envelope, give the Oscar out, and quietly leave. He gets up there, immediately is kind of like enthralled by the reaction that he gets. And then is sort of like, maybe I should do some Shakespeare. and then is sort of like, no, I won't do that. And I think that's the moment where he lost it. Because there's clearly something on the prompter for him. But because he went off script because of the reaction that he got, I think that threw him
a little bit. And I think the prompter people probably didn't know. Yeah, like,
didn't know he was going to say that. And so then he kind of didn't really get the wheels back on. And eventually he opens up the envelope and
I think you need to insert your friend's clip of his.
Oh, I don't know why he didn't say the very easy introduction and the Oscar goes to XYZ. Instead, he opened it up and seemed like confused by what he was opening and then just said, "My eyes see Oppenheimer." And then nobody in the audience knew what to do with that. And eventually they started playing the Oppenheimer music and everyone was sort of like, oh, I guess Oppenheimer won.
Oh my God. I think it started just a few seconds earlier for me. So when Emma Stone won her award,
yep.
Jimmy Kimmel very quickly comes out, congratulations, and is very quickly rip up that envelope.
Because like a very good, funny reference call.
But just like super quick, very funny, because obviously a few years before when she won her first one, it was her envelope that was reopened.
Well, it was the backup envelope.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so they have two envelopes in case they lose one, in case one gets ruined. And they accidentally gave the second Emma Stone envelope to Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway for Best Picture.
And so they open it, they say her name, La La Land.
Yeah.
Everybody comes up, and then very quickly, oh no, it wasn't La La Land.
Yeah, that was the wrong envelope. Yeah.
That was the wrong one. It was Moonlight.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed Jimmy Kimmel just doing that really quick.
Yeah.
Rip that up. Get rid of that. But yeah, Al Pacino. I just...
Like, I think this is him being like, I have no blame in this situation. If it's not Oppenheimer, I am not taking the bullet on this one. My eyes see Oppenheimer. That's what I'm reading.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, he... Oh man, he was just kind of funny.
It was kind of a deflating moment before what should be the biggest award of the night, but like only Al.
But I think if it hadn't been Oppenheimer, if somebody had done a dark horse race and had won it all, I think we would have sat there and been like, are we sure he read it right?
Exactly.
So him just being like, well, this is what I'm seeing, that's it. Like
the thing that I the reason I say we need to stop doing this, though, is because I'm always conscious of people watching the Oscars, but not necessarily investing to the crazy level that I have their life and their time into movies and movie history. And so
you think they'll judge him on that one moment?
That is my thing, is that okay. I think that there are a lot of people at home watching that moment with Al Pacino, and they probably know the name. They definitely know that he was probably in The Godfather. They probably, you know, that he'd done a few gangster movies, things like that. But they don't know how good of an actor he actually was, and like how important to movies for 30, 40 years he actually was. And then he gets up there and he does that, and they're thinking to themselves, who is this clown?
Well, they also made a joke about him finding a babysitter, because for people now,
yes,
it'll be, well, Al Pacino
just had a new baby.
Just had a new baby.
At the sprightly age of 83.
Is that how old he is? Yes,
has a newborn baby at home.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I can see where your fear of people judging him on this like moment in time and not...
I just feel like the crazy guy standing on the street being like, he's really good. Do not judge him on this. He is really good.
Do you think...
Let me show you Dog Day Afternoon.
Do you think they'll bring him out next year with somebody else to kind of give him a redeeming moment? Because they did that for...
They did do that for Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. But no, I don't think they... I honestly don't think Al Pacino really gives a shit. So when I said that I'm not sure if he knew where he was, like that is kind of almost genuine because I don't think he really cares.
Yeah.
So I think like he probably went out for a nice dinner with Robert De Niro after the show and the two of them were just sort of like, that was silly.
Yeah, that's probably.
You know what I mean? Like I don't think they care. Are there any sort of closing notes or little curiosities that you wanted to bring up?
No, I just, like I said before, I think having so many new winners, having, as we've talked about, being a little bit more international, I'm just kind of interested to see where the next couple years go. They did tease a potential new category, we felt like last night.
Well, so this was one of mine.
This was yours?
This was one of mine. When Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling got up to introduce the stunt work montage.
Yeah, just kind of give it its moment.
Yeah. On one hand, it is 100% a commercial for their upcoming movie, The Fall Guy, in which he plays a stuntman.
I forgot that they're in a new movie together as well.
So that is definitely what this was. However, I believe it was the only montage last night of sort of random movies. Like, they didn't really do that last night. They've done that in the past where they've sort of been like, hey, do you remember this genre of movie? And then they just play 5 minutes of clips. They didn't really do that last night. And so for the fact that stunt work was the only one that got singled out on, like, it's one of these, like, two steps forward, one step back thing for me with the Oscars, where it's sort of like, I want them to add a stunt work category. And I think they should. And I think it's long overdue. But they haven't. And so to get up there and recognize stunt work without recognizing it with an award was sort of like, why are we doing this? Like what, whose decision was this? Because it kind of only highlights the fact that there isn't a stunt work award.
Yep.
But at the same time, them highlighting it in that way, which they've never done before, like has to be a good thing. The optimist in me says that has to be a good thing.
What I was kind of thinking more about the award show now, them starting an hour earlier, great decision, because although it didn't work out for us, it was supposed to kind of be done about 10:30.
Yeah.
So, like, there's definitely room for them to add.
Oh, add more.
Another category.
Started at 5. Prime time on the East Coast. Forget those West Coasters. Who cares about that?
Giron has been saying for weeks that he would just love, like, an Oscar day. Just start make it early.
5 hours. 5 hours.
You already sit through 3.5 hour movies. Exactly. You're excited for the 4 hour Napoleon movie.
Exactly. Like... I do not care. Like every year I go and I watch the Super Bowl, which is like 11, 12 hours long. And I do not care about football. I really care about movies and I really care about the Oscars. If they got to half that runtime, I'd be happy.
The other moment that I'm remembering now, the In Memoriam.
Yeah.
It just seemed messy last night.
It was a bit strange. It was a bit weird. I don't love, like, the musical performances. We've already talked about that. Sort of the I'm Just Ken thing is the exception to the rule. I don't normally love when they get up there and they sing the songs, because one, the songs are never really in the movies anyway, so who cares? But for them to then make the In Memoriam also a musical performance, I was sort of like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are we, what, this is unnecessary.
For a brief moment, I thought that they were going to start back, show maybe a bit of the crowd, show the interpretive dancers, contemporary dancers, and the screen. And then they were going to kind of like
cut. Just do the screen.
And just do the screen and be like, this is what everybody else is seeing, but you at home get to just watch the screen. And I'd be like, cool. That's what I enjoy about that portion of the Oscars, is remembering all of the people who have passed away over the past year. Because inevitably, there is a ton that I'm like, oh yeah, and them too. And oh, yes, I forgot about that one. And so for them to be back and for us to not really see the screen, for them to then also keep changing the screen that they were showing it on.
Yeah.
It just, it seemed messy.
It was a little bit all over the place.
And I was kind of just like, for the quiet moment in the Oscars, the moment to just kind of reflect on everybody, I don't need a lot of fuss. Like, just have the pictures, just have the name, have where they, like, what category they were a part of. And that's it for me.
Yeah.
Simple is better.
The only sort of actual disappointing moment that I had last night.
Okay.
And my hope is that he's just on a set somewhere making his next movie. But Wes Anderson not being there to accept his first Academy Award, he's never won before, was a little disappointing, mostly because the win has come in the shorts category.
So do you think he thought, well, it's not worthy for me to be there?
It's not worth me
being there?
I don't think he thought that, but it does unfortunately put more of a spotlight on the fact that most people really just do not care about these three categories. And like, I get it. These movies are genuinely hard to find. And most people don't ever see the shorts. But for the people who make them and have their career in the shorts, like we talked last night about Ben Proudfoot, who won his second award for short documentary. Me and Mum have like really taken to him. He's a Canadian filmmaker. He only makes short films, or has predominantly made short films to this point. He makes them for the New York Times, so they end up on their YouTube channel. And like, we just really love his style. We love the stories that he finds and that he highlights and things like that. And so, you know, like, his career is in shorts. He's not making these shorts to make millions of dollars. I think he understands that's not a likely outcome for him. He does them because he likes them. And so for Wes Anderson to win in that category, I think is good. Like, the shorts that he did for Netflix were great. But to not be there then, unfortunately, I think does highlight the fact that, like, people don't really care about these categories.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't need to be there. And, like, it's his first award. Like, they all count the same. He will now forever be known as Academy Award winner.
Yeah,
that's Wes Anderson. You know what I mean? So, like, they all ultimately count for the same. So, it was just a bit disappointing that he wasn't there. If it had been his second or third award, I could understand it more. But I think he genuinely cares about movie history. I think he genuinely cares about the Academy Award history. I think it actually means something to him. If you watch his movies, you can see the fact that he is talking to this bygone era. It just would have been nice for him to be there, to have a speech like Nolan's, where Nolan was like, he was overwhelmed by the fact that he is now actually a part of this legacy of filmmaking.
You wanted Wes Anderson there?
I just wanted him there.
How did you do on your own ballot?
On my ballot, I went 20 of 23.
That's not bad.
Which is pretty damn good. I basically started two of the early categories. One was a short that I got wrong, and one was best makeup, which I got wrong because I foolishly chose the Maestro one. I know better. Maestro was not winning anything last night. I then went like 14 in a row getting them right. And then the Emma Stone, Lily Gladstone award. And I went with Lily and Emma ended up winning. And 2023, I think, is pretty damn good going. So any things going forward, any ideas for next year's Oscars?
I'm going to try and make it to more Best Picture winners.
Okay.
Or nominees.
Yeah.
Before the Oscars.
Okay.
So that'll take a little bit more planning on my part, but try and see more of them. No, I'm just kind of interested to see if they include some more awards based off of Anatomy of a Fall. I think they should have a pet category and an under 18 category.
So they used to have a juvenile child award, which was actually a smaller Oscar.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
I hate it. Like, so I'm not in favor of this, like, child award.
I wouldn't say child. I would say under 18. I think some of one of the other award shows we talked about has, like, the up-and-coming star, something like that. I think a recognition to the younger generation might help bring in also more viewers.
Yeah, but I don't care about the viewers anymore. I've lost that battle. I don't
care. You just want the awards.
I just want the awards. I think the part that I have that's tough with the like under 18 or rising star is first, like, how do you quantify that? Like the rising star thing. Like, just to bring up, I can't remember which award show it was, but like Kaylee Spaney was up for breakthrough performance. And she was obviously, like, she was great in Priscilla. But I was sitting there being like, well, I've known about Kaylee Spaney for, like, 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
So, like what is she breaking through? And also, like, Priscilla didn't make any money or didn't get any awards. So, like, what is the breakthrough? Like, that people That's now fair. Know her? Because I don't know if anyone who didn't know her now or didn't know her before knows her now. You know what I mean? So, the breakthrough thing, it's also, like, a little too close to, like, MTV Movie Awards.
Okay.
If we're adding new things, I would love to see a debut feature.
Okay.
For the filmmakers, because I think that would be the category where you could get people who made a $1 million movie, a $5 million movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Sort of no real resources, very low budget. We obviously know that once it comes to the Oscars, there's lots of campaigning that involves the studios putting up money. They're not going to put up money for a movie that costs $2 million. They're going to put up the money for their big, hopeful bet. If there was a category where that movie would be competing, like, that would be great. And so I think that would open up
enough. Some more.
Enough. I don't think we need to have a pet Oscar.
Come on, the dog, Jenny last year. The pets need to be rewarded.
I don't know about that, Kate. I don't know about that. So that's the 96th Annual Academy Awards. Done and dusted. We can move on.
On to the 97th.
Will you commit now to watching all of the Best Picture winners that you have not seen between now and next year's show? Will you categorically say that I will watch
the three movies?
No. Not the nominees. Oh. The winners.
Oh, the winner.
All the winners that you have not seen. Will you cross those off the list this year?
There was like 70 of them.
Yes.
I can't even do one a week. I don't have enough weeks.
So you do one and a half a week. Some of them are going to take you a few days. There's a lot of Killers of the Flower Moon length movies in this category.
You're just saying that because you're almost done.
I think. Yes, I am. I have about 14 left.
You've had a big push the past couple weeks,
yeah,
of trying to watch some of them. But then you started to say that they aren't very good.
Some of them are truly dog shit. Some of them are like head scratchingly bad. Like, and not only in the fact that they won, but in the fact of who they won against, where you're sort of like, how the hell did this happen? But
can here, I avoid the are. Dog shit ones?
No. You gotta watch them in their totality.
I will watch 10.
10 previous winners.
I will watch 10 previous winners. Okay. I think that's a more attainable goal.
Before next week's movie?
No, before next year's Oscars.
Oh, okay. Are we going to tease next week's movie?
I just recently rewatched it.
But are you going to rewatch it again?
But I'll probably rewatch it again.
Okay.
So it'll be twice in, I think, 1 year for me that I've watched this, and we're already in March. We kind of picked it because it's coming to our local theater,
yeah,
and Kieran just wants to see it on the big screen. So
if I'm going to go and see this movie on the big screen, I'm definitely doing an episode on it. So I'm going to try and get some tangible, you know, reward out of this beyond the movie itself. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen this movie in a long time, but I remember really liking it.
Okay.
Really, really liking it. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it based on how you felt about the last movie we did from this filmmaker.
Okay.
But that'll be next week.
See you then.